That's good. It's growing. It's good to be with you this morning. Good morning, everyone. Been kind of doing this. I'll continue to do this as long as we're small, I guess. So it's good to see you, Colleen, today. Good to see you today. And it's good to see you, Kaya, today. Billy, good to see you. And Steve, it's good to see you. So there's my three or four people. All right. Good to see everyone. But me and Carla have made it back safely back from Mississippi and Florida. We drove a lot of miles, and every day we drove. It just seemed like we drove and drove and drove. Every place we went was distance. So we spent some time in Mississippi with, three churches and associations. So we spent some time there, got some good things there. And then we also spent time with which was the vice president's Southern Baptist Convention there. Me and Carla got to eat lunch with him and his wife. Gave us some contacts for Georgia. Also, we got to tour another facility that does some of the same things that we do, except their membership is 10,000 people, and their budget is $1.2 million. Yeah, so that was unique. Yes. Good people, though. Very humble ministry, and we got some input there and some things we'll just get to process. Every place we picked up a few things, and I think they picked up a few things from us. And then we went over to Milton, Florida, which is First Baptist, and I think they have a membership of about 1,200. They run, I don't know, 600 on Sunday or so. And there was a great piece there. They had a great reception for us. We ate dinner with them, and it was a good piece. And a lot of people are signing up to come, and they're eagerly to sign if our remember right, they never really go to a place 2 years in a row or a second time, but they are doing it with us because they see the need, and so they're coming up, and we're very, very excited. And on their way, I got a couple of crisis calls, and I got a call from Ohio saying, hey, we're coming. And so this is a lot. It's a lot of doing. So, and got here within 5 minutes, and the toilet's already out upstairs. So we got a flooding toilet. That's why it's not working. So I have a lot to do tomorrow, and if you're not busy and you got some time, you can come help me work on this toilet if you want, because I'm supposed to do like 5 or 6 things on tomorrow, and somehow this bathroom's got to get fixed. So, but if you want to help with me, just see me after church, and we'll work out a time we can work it together. It's always better to do it with 2 or 3 people than just one. But sometimes, so I want to also thank you guys that covered the pulpit, Phil and Phil. Sounds like an attorney firm, but it's not. But it's good to have those guys. I feel confident when I leave. I feel confident that the pulpit's going to be fine. Just a reminder to you that if the schools are closed on Wednesdays in Huntington, we're closed. Makes it very, very simple, okay? Makes it very, very simple. As a pastor, sometimes you get to a place where you want to, you pray, you work on some messages, and you work on them, and then you clutter them up, and you kind of, you don't throw them away. You just kind of work on them again later. And then sometimes you prepare one, and then it just works right. Sometimes it doesn't work right. And so today I'm just going to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Sometimes people ask me, how do you know the Lord is working in your life? How do you know the Lord is working in your life? How do you know that? So some people, well, I just don't know that God's working in my life. I just don't know it. Well, there's ways you can see it. But today I want to talk about one thing, and this is our topic today, which is prayer. We can get so busy in ministries, we can get so busy in our work, in our life, that we forget to pray. And when we do pray, we're just kind of going through the McDonald's line. We get in there, we say what we order, and we're in and out. And you know what it costs to get a meal from McDonald's? It takes you about 90 seconds at the drive-thru, and then you come up and you get some slop food. It's about what you get, right? It's kind of what we do sometimes when we go to the Lord and we pray. We want something great, and we don't put anything into it. But one of the things I want to tell you is one way to know that the Lord is working in your life is by answered prayer. By answered prayer. I believe prayer can be one of the hardest things to do when you do it right. Okay? But What really is prayer? Prayer is really just, it's a plea for help. It's a plea to God. It's just a plea to God. It is a plea for God's help. It's a plea for God to put his hands in the mix. It's a plea for God to walk alongside. It's a plea for God for whatever's going on in our life. It is a plea for God, to God. And I want you to know, when we pray, we're praying to what we call the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, the Bible doesn't use that word Trinity, but we see it's in there, okay? We know today that we're breathing air, but do you see the air that you breathe? No, but you know you need it, right? So, the Trinity is God who is in heaven, is the Father, Jesus Christ is our Savior, Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God that lives in every believer who intercedes and drawing us to the things of God, and then there's a battle that we fight that draws us to the flesh, but it's just this whole thing like, so we see the word Trinity, and I've used this before, it's like using the word water. Water is what it is, but if you take water and you turn it, water is water, but if you freeze it, it becomes ice. If you make it hot enough, it becomes steam. But it's still water. Water, ice, super cold, hot, steam. Still water. The Trinity, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, still God. Amen? All right, so we have that Lord on our side. So what we do is we get into these places. And so I want to read out of Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read a couple of verses as we continue to go. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. They're not going to be in order, but they will be in this chapter. Verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which understands all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's telling us that we are not to be anxious, but we do get anxious, don't we? We do get anxious about things. So we are to take those things and take them to the Lord in prayer. Okay? We need to take them to the Lord in prayer. Some of the most honest, purest prayers come from children. They have no sideline personal antics there. There's no personal pulls. It's what's on their heart is what comes out in their mouth. When they pray for mom and dad not to get the divorce, it's because it is all by pure love. When they pray that someone doesn't pass away, it's all because of pure love and a fear of loss. So maybe we need to get back to praying like children do. Just being honest with God. Just being honest with God. I think prayer also draws us near to God. But when we start drawing near to God, our junk begins, as adults, our junk begins to pop up. You see, if as a father, I remember having bunk beds, and my kids would jump off the bunk bed, and I'd just catch them. And they trusted me. But as we grow up into adults, we have a hard time jumping into the Father's arms because we still want to have control. And we struggle with that. But the closer and more we draw near to God, our true self will come out. It just happens that way. Our true self comes out. Good or bad, it will come out. The sins will always come in there because God wants to deal with those things. If you have any questions on that, go to Isaiah chapter 6 and you'll figure it out. When you know, you ever have those moments when you're praying and those moments when you're praying, you know that you come in and you have this moment where you're going to pray to the Lord, but something begins to shift in your prayer moment, your prayer time, and you begin to, you're pouring out to God, you're drawing near to Him. Now you end up standing and you end up kneeling. Maybe you're even prostrate or you're just flat out on the ground. I don't know if you ever prayed like that before, but it's an amazing piece. You begin to plead, you begin to cry, you begin to make your appeals before God. I'm telling you, there's something about those things, even when you do things physically. It's all about drawing near to God. I want to share with you six types of prayers that I believe that I see throughout the Bible, and I see out through our lives. Because he says, but in everything by prayer. Everything by prayer. Now, I also want you to think about this for a minute, because I've known people in my past that just pray, and you need to pray. But there's also, you got to do too. There are some people that just sit back, we'll pray about that, but never make a move. No, prayer will always tell you to do something. Either don't do it or do it, or move forward or step back. Prayer gives you direction. It doesn't make you just stop. There's moments where God will say, be still and know that I am God. Just be still for the moment. But there'll be a time of movement. But there are some that just focus definitely just on prayer without any action to it. That's not what we're talking about. So I want to talk about six pieces of prayer, six different styles, and I think that is biblical, that we need to. So if you take notes, these will help you out, because isn't there a time sometimes in your spiritual life where you kind of get a little stagnant? You get a little stagnant? See, out of the babe's mouth comes the truth. Somebody said, yeah, and it was a little, yeah. We get a little stagnant with the Lord sometimes. And when we get stagnant, we're always not sure what to do. Well, there's six styles of prayers right here that we can do, because I'm telling you, when you draw near to God, you begin to pray, your relationship with God begins to strengthen. How many of you today know that your relationship needs to strengthen right now? It's on a scale from 1 to 10, you're not at an 8 right now. Come on, be honest. Anybody? Okay. This is for you today. Okay? Number one, adoration. You take the adoration. Adoration is praising God. You're not asking for anything. You're going in and you are singing and you are worshiping God. You are giving Him adoration. You're reaffirming in you. God already knows that He's God, but we're reaffirming in ourselves that there is a higher being. There is a higher one, higher than me. It is God. It is Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit. And He is due His worship, and we need to worship Him. And we can pray with adoration, lifting up His name. And sometimes when you just go to prayer in adoration, it is an amazing peace. It really is. It is amazing peace, because adoration is putting God above ourselves. And listen, and above our needs, and above anything else. God is first and foremost. He is above all things. And so we're going to give Him the adoration through prayer for that. Okay? So some of you need to get back to praying in adoration to God by praising Him and worshiping Him through your prayer time. Not just your singing when we're here together or in your car, but in your personal time, giving Him adoration. That's different than Thanksgiving, and we'll get to that in a minute. But adoration is just lifting up the name of Christ in your life. Amen? We need to do that. We need to do that. Number two, confession. We messy people. We're sinful people. Even believers, we mess up. We need to learn how to confess. Bible, 1 John 1:9 tells us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. There's a part there that we need to confess, asking for forgiveness, confessing sins and the struggles and the battles that we're in that some of them we shouldn't be in. And so we need to learn how to pray in a confessional way. Listen, some of us are struggling, and some of us are struggling that are not here today because they're struggling with sin and they're not dealing with it. If you don't deal with sin biblically the right way, you will struggle being the Christian that God wants you to be. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You will struggle. And if you don't get it right with God, you can struggle for 20 to 50 years. Because you are not confessing the sins in your life. And you will carry them everywhere you go because you are harboring them. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to forgive us and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. That's a promise. You can write that down because the Bible said so. Amen? 1 John 1:9. You can go over there and read it. That is a strong piece for all of us. And when people come to Christ, they confess their sins. And Jesus wipes them all away. All away. But there are some times when God wants to talk to you about a certain sin. It's that one that just keeps you away from Him. It's that one that comes in and divides you in Him. It's that one that comes in and becomes that wedge between your relationship, between you and Him. And that relationship and what He wants you to become and what He's designed you to become, because that sin has become an obstacle. And the only way you can deal with sin is get right with Christ and let Him take over that part. And there'll be some confessing, and you may have to confess to someone else. I know today there are people struggling right now. I've known. I got calls this weekend. There are people struggling with sin right now. It can be life-changing sin. So confession is important for the believer. Number three, intercession. Intercession is when you're praying for others. This is not about you. This is about others. We do not spend enough time praying for others. We ask others to pray for somebody, and we don't even do it ourselves. Is that true? We say, hey, will you pray for my mom? Will you pray for my sister? Will you pray for my aunt? Will you pray for my friend? And we just put 2 seconds into the prayer. How can we ask others to pray for someone that seems to be so important to us, yet we spend very little time praying for them ourselves? So there's really no fire, no power even behind the asking. So we need to learn how to intercede for others, which sometimes looks like this. As Jesus went up and interceded in John chapter 17, He went up and interceded first for Himself. Lord, this cup pass from me, not my will, but Thy will be done. There's a part there. He's going to go to the cross. And then He intercedes for the disciples. He intercedes for the disciples. And then He intercedes for all future believers. I didn't know Jesus did that for me. I didn't know it until I read it. I learned it a long time ago. I didn't know it until I learned it back when I became a Christian, that Jesus was praying for me. That's what interceding is. Sometimes people don't know you're praying for them. Chris and Susan, I prayed for you many, many times. You never knew it. Radosovich, I prayed for you 100,000 times and you never knew it. I prayed for many of you. You never even knew it. But this is what I know. Many of you have prayed for me and I never knew it. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for that. And there are people that are praying for this church that you'll never meet. You'll never know that they're praying. We have a couple of strong prayer warriors that are in the middle of Florida that came up here one time, and they intercede for us on a daily basis. We talk every week, once a week. They are prayer warriors, and they pray every week, every day for us. That's interceding. Sometimes you may know and sometimes you don't know that somebody is praying for you. Praying for you. Because the only thing that's going to make a difference in your life is Jesus Christ, and somebody needs to step in and pray and intercede for someone else. And let me tell you, if your life is just focused on yourself, you're a selfish person. I'm just being honest. You're a very selfish person. And a very selfish person only prays about themselves, only prays for their own family. Everything is about them. And I'm telling you, you will live a miserable life as a Christian. Because you will judge your relationship with Christ by what's going on in your own self and your own family. And that's not going to be a win. That's not going to be a win. Because here it is. When you're only praying for yourself, then when that gets clicked off the check mark box, then you pray for yourself for something else. And you pray for something It's about you, 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 and you. And your whole life has been about you. But when you start praying for others, then you begin to feel the love of Christ. You begin to feel the heaviness. Listen, you start interceding for people. I will tell you, there is some consequences to it. But it's the blessing and it outweighs the consequences. But you begin to feel other people's weight. You begin to feel the weight of other people's problems and those things. It's not that it takes over, but you feel the weight, even in the part of confession. So It is good to, we just need to make sure that we're interceding, intercession for other people. Sometimes I feel like my prayers are bouncing off the walls. They're not. Biblically, they're not. But in the flesh, it feels like I'm praying, and Lord, I don't feel like I'm even connecting. What is going on here? Then I have to say, I know that's a lie from the devil, to reassure myself, I'm going to call a couple people that I know that they're walking with the Lord. Doesn't make them, but I need some help in my prayer life. I need some help praying for this one such thing. I need help praying for this one or two things. And I just, the more people you have praying, wow, that prayer, we'll get to that. There's power in prayer, folks. There's power in prayer. And I believe sometimes there's more power in intercession for others than there is in any other way. Because intercession is the one that takes it all off of you. That in adoration. But intercession puts it on other people. You're getting involved with other people. Intercession. Number four, petition. Petition. This is where you're asking God for favor. You're asking God for something that only He can do. You're looking for a job. And you're saying, Lord, I need a job, and I can't do this. I know nobody here. I have no inside person that's going to, but I really just need a job, and I'm asking, Lord, that You'd open a door. I need a job. Lord, I've got some problems with my health, or I need a favor in that area. I need favor in an area that just, I need Your hand on this situation. There's conflict in my family. There's a marriage issue. There's a child issue. There's something at work. There's something going on in the church, or whatever it may be, or something that you're not sure about. Whatever it may be, it is about you. There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. We're supposed to pray for ourselves. Amen. We're supposed to pray for ourselves. We're supposed to petition and ask God for favor. Ask God to put His hand on something in your life. And I'm telling you, when God answers that, guess what? What we talked about earlier. This is how you know the Lord is involved in your life. When the door comes open, you end up getting an interview, you get the job, then you go move into adoration. You can move into adoration, praising Him. But then the next one is thanksgiving. Number five, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is showing gratitude toward God. Okay, different than adoration. You can combine them. But this is thanking God. Thanking God for answering prayer, thanking God for moving in your life, thanking God for moving obstacles. Sometimes it's like, Lord, thank You that I'm not the person I used to be. I still thank You for that I'm not the person that I used to be. And we can thank God for our family. We can thank God for some of you have wealth, whatever it may be, in different areas of life. Whatever it is, you're thanking God. You're thanking God. And we need to be thanking God. That's what it says. We need to do it with thanksgiving. Thanking God for all that He's done. And I can probably say this with 100% strength behind it. God has done more than we have ever seen. He's done more than we've ever deserved. God has been amazing. He's faithful. He's committed. He's in this thing all through. He was in this thing in the beginning of the world. And He's going to be in this thing after, at the end, and even into eternity. And the cool part of it is, if you call upon His name, Jesus Christ, He lets you jump on that train and you ride right with it. And that's enough to say, thank You, Lord. That's enough to say, thank You, Jesus. So showing gratitude. Some of us need to show a little more gratitude. Amen? All right. And number six, spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is a little different. This is where you have to get aggressive in your prayer life to the point that you know that there are some things happening in your life that is not by, it can be through flesh, but it's not backed by flesh. It is by darkness. It's by spiritual darkness, where spiritual darkness begins to move around you. But I want to assure you, I'm giving you scriptures to look at, but if you go to Job chapter 1 and 2, you'll see that God knows everything. When these things happen in spiritual warfare, God knows about it. And I want to tell you, there's nothing going to happen to you that God does not see. Amen? Some of you know me personally. Some of you know some of the things I went through in the past, just even the last couple years. Spiritual warfare is something you don't ask for. Believe me, you don't want it. But it's something that happens. And I want to tell you, the more you draw close to God, the more you're becoming, more of you are a target to spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare can come at you in financial problems, and come with you in health problems, and can come with you mentally and psychologically. It can come with you through your heart where you have doubts and your just all kinds of things like that. It'll affect things around you, and this Holy Spirit begins to give you some understanding of what's going on. But spiritual warfare, when you begin to pray in spiritual warfare, I'm telling you, you have to be serious. You have to get people that you know that can pray for you, but they can only go so far with you. You still have to do your part. You have to go through it. They'll pray for you. You need them to intercede for you. And when you go through spiritual warfare, you're going to put yourself out there. And some people may call you crazy. Some people may say you're a holy roller. I've been called that. Some of them are going to say that you're nuts, you're crazy. That stuff don't happen. And then you know what? You just have to step away from that. Because you know what you're going through. And what you're going through can be very, very difficult. And when and hopefully you don't see any manifestations, or you don't get through to see all that stuff. But I'm telling you, when you get to there, it's a very, very difficult piece. And the only way to get out of it is through prayer. I'm telling you, the only way to get out of it is through prayer and praising God. I'm telling you. And the last time I went through it, it was not just through prayer, but I had to praise God through song and singing and worshiping. It's the only way. But I'm telling you, it was four nights of just darkness. But spiritual warfare is a style of a prayer that you have to be aggressive. It's coming at you for a purpose and a reason. I do want to read out of Matthew chapter 16 today, out of 16:19. This is what Jesus says. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you have bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's a lot of different people, a lot of different things of what people believe that is, but I believe sometimes we need the Lord to intercede in a special way with us through spiritual warfare, okay? In spiritual warfare times, we need the Lord to work with us, and we need to, listen, spiritual warfare will do this for you. I'm telling you, listen. It will strengthen you, even though you don't want it. It will strengthen you. It will give you an awareness that the world is bigger than what you see. And it will give you the closeness probably. When we sin and we do things, and darkness is all part of that sin, getting us to sin, temptation. But when in spiritual warfare, you're not getting the works, trying to get you to sin. That demonic power is in front of you. And the first part that what it will do will try to give you the spirit, will try to get you to take on the spirit of fear. Now I'm getting really deep in spiritual warfare. I need to step back, but. Spiritual warfare is a battle time where your prayer life will grow. I'm telling you, your prayer life has to grow. If it doesn't grow, you're not going to make it. Your prayer life is going to grow. It will force your prayer life to grow. I'm telling you, and you will call on people you might not have called on for a long time because you know, you may not have seen because you know they walk with the Lord. You can't have privates and just new soldiers out there. You got to have some people who's been through some of that with some wounds on themselves from going through spiritual warfare. So spiritual warfare is another one of those pieces of prayer that sometimes we need to be aware of, and we need to work through that. And so we learn about binding and casting out. There's another part of that about casting out. I don't want to get all into that, but when you pray over someone, there's demonic in them. That is a battle in itself. That's part of spiritual warfare, but that's casting out as well. And there's even some of my brothers in the Southern Baptist that don't believe that, but I'm telling you, you get around the darkness enough, you're going to see it, and you're going to have to deal with it. You're just going to have to deal with it. And sometimes there is a casting out, and there's a loosening as well. So prayer is a part of our life. So let me read this. Be anxious for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's what we know. God wants to hear from you. Amen? God wants to hear from you through prayer. Number two, verse 7, and the peace of God. There, you cannot buy the peace of God. The peace of God only comes from God. And you got to have Jesus, the Holy Spirit in you, a relationship with God that is healthy, and there is a peace that can transcend, that can calm you, even in the wildest storms of your life, even in spiritual warfare, there is a peace that only comes from God. So, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Even if you don't understand what's going on, God still has, there's a part inside of you that is, that gives you peace. I don't know what's going on, but I know God's got this. He's not gonna fail me. And then we get the strength from it from 13. We get it, we believe this. In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this through Christ. He strengthens me. And then 19, he says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ again. So God will supply all your needs. All your needs through Jesus Christ. He knows all those. So what does all this do? All this is about prayer. All this is about being prayer and being strengthened. And let me tell you, if you don't have a prayer life, I guarantee you, you're not a strong Christian right now. Just saying. You're not, I'm telling you, you're not that strong of a Christian. You may check off all the boxes, but I'm telling you, that doesn't make you a strong Christian. So one way to know that God is moving in your life is by answered prayer. Now I got a question for you. What's the last prayer that God answered for you? Because we bounce around through the day, we can bounce around through the week trying to figure out what's going on. And we can waste a lot of time, burn a lot of energy when all we had to do was kick our prayer life back up. Make a commitment. In the morning, I'm going to pray. I'm going to make a new commitment. I'm going to pray in the morning. I'm going to start praying every morning before I pick up my cell phone and start seeing what news I missed. Let me tell you something about the cell phone. And you put it down at 11 o'clock last night, nothing changed between 6 and 7 in the morning. And Fox News didn't put much of new on anyway. You can tell what I look at. I'm just telling you, nobody put any news on. Nobody's going to text you. Very seldom will I get a text at between midnight and 6 or 7 in the morning, whenever you get up. So why don't we make God the first priority and pray to him in the morning? Amen? And when, if you're a breakfast eater, pray again. Because we should be thanking him for our food, for breakfast. You got two in already in the morning. Then when you go to lunch, you pray again. Very simple. Just pray over your food. That's always good. Number three, you pray over your meal. You can get four in just like that. It's not about how many you get in, but you're making prayer life, you're making your prayer life important. You spend time on what is important to you. And so prayer needs to be important. Amen? Now, who needs to strengthen their prayer life today? Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's in adoration. Maybe it's intercession, praying for others. Maybe it's for confession. Yeah. Maybe supplication, petition. Maybe even for spiritual warfare. But this is what I know of all the things I said this morning. God is waiting for your call. Because he's got a lot to say. God's got a lot to say. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. If you feel that you want to come and pray,